All right. So, the topic of my talk is to tell you one project I'm actually working on. It's an ongoing project. This project is about fraud detection. In particular, the type of fraud we're interested is it's called user impersonification. This means that imagine that a fake user, a bad user, has your credentials to access your web bank account. These algorithms, these models, has to sort of detect that the user who's accessing the bank account is not the real user. All right. And the way we want to tackle this problem is to analyze keystroke dynamics. So the dynamic patterns extracted from typing patterns of the real user. All right. So of course, this is a very strong limitation because there are many, many cases in which this approach won't work, considering some bank account access systems. So, for instance, we're not able to detect user impersonification frauds in cases the bank account system provides a sort of virtual keyboard, a scrambling the keyboard, and so there's no typing involved into the access. All right. So, saying that, I'm going to tell you, I want to share with you my experience with this project, especially for those of you who are not very into the machine learning pipelines, just to tell you what are the typical problems you may tackle in this kind of problems and projects. So we started. I'm going to show you this. We collected the data from 45 users, and we built this application, which was meant to record keystroke typings from web. All right. We also have another app, mobile app. So we want to have data collection from web browsers and mobile application. All the users had to type their username. Each user has a user ID, and all of them have the same password. All right, which is 10 characters long, considering also that you have to press some keyboard to do the uppercase. All right, so saying that, I'm going to show you all the notebooks I prepared, and so to tell you all this journey along this data. So the different models I've tried, and so on and so forth. So first of all, the very first step I did was feature data preparation. We managed to collect the data from the user. We saved them in JSON format. And so the very first thing was to process these features, so these raw data, and transform them into features. We have two different sets of features, in particular four, but I'm going to tell you the difference. We have web features, so those collected from the browsers, and app features, those collected. Oh, sorry, this is very tiny. I'm sorry. I'm going to reduce this. All right, maybe it's better. And all right, sorry about that. Okay, so start with this. Okay. So I have web features and app features. So I used heavily pandas and to load the data. So the features we have collected from raw data are these four. These four features are taken from the literature. So we want to record according to each typing, the dwell time, the flight time, the up time, and the down time. These are the definitions. So the dwell time refers to the amount of time spent between pressing and releasing one single key. Flight time, pressing and releasing two successive keys. And these two metrics are called digraph metrics because they just consider two keys. You can also consider more than two keys. Up time and down time are more or less the same. They just consider key up and key down time intervals. So we extracted the web features, all right? So this following code is just to show you that originally we have data in this format. We had data in this format, so we have from JSON files, we had nested JSON objects, and so they were quite difficult to parse for pandas, at least in my opinion. So what I did was using this flatten dict, and so these are all the keys we have. We have data for password field, for username field, and so all the features, and moreover, we also record some deletions, but I'm not yet using it. So deletions refer to the cases where even if the typing led to a successful login, the user may have done some cancellations during the typing, and we also record it. And these are the other keys, and these are very important. So we managed to have 45 different users accessing both the web and the app, mobile app interfaces. They were asked to type the password in 50 user, 45 sessions. Each session had to contain 10 repetitions of the typing. All right, and so we asked the user to do one session at a time, so 10 repetitions in a row. All right, and so we have recorded repetition ID and session ID and user ID, so we can distinguish all the cases from the raw data. Just use flatten dict, which is a very useful package to flatterize a dictionary. So yeah, so very boilerplate code just to compact the data structured we have in JSON into one single level of dictionary. And so then we can build our pandas data frame using from records. And so this is very useful. So apart from this, so the very first step we did was feature data preparation. And so I just processed all the JSON files and stored into flatten JSON using pandas, so I can better manage data processing afterwards. So now the more important and probably the very important step in this kind of project are feature data analysis and filtering. So once you have sort of stored the data you want, the very first thing you have to do, and this is my general advice for any of you who's initially starting to work in this kind of field, is to take a look at the data. So the very first step you do is, okay, I'm going to process this data. I don't really care how I want to gather them. I want to consider all the features, some of them. These are second steps. The very first one is take a look at the data. And so I basically load the data, and I'm going to show you this notebook, but this notebook has been changed, I can tell you, four times at least, because every time I did some pre-processing, something came up, which was some data were missing, some extraction from the raw data was wrong, and so on and so forth. So what I did was to do some, in this case, I just recording password data. So I'm not considering username field. And the first thing I did was to calculate the most common frequency. So just to be sure that the length of the repetitions were all the same for all the data. And so I realized that the most common frequency of features is 8 for all of them, apart from dwell time, but this is expected because of how the feature is defined. And this was necessary because not all the sequences extracted had the same length, and so I had to filter noisy data in the very first step. And this has been for many reasons. For instance, the user had use the mouse during the typing, and so the recording of the very initial steps of the web application was wrong, and so we had to discard some data. I did these for both web features and app features, and afterwards I did a sort of ranking of user. I wanted to rank all the 50 user we had according to the ratio of how many of their data corresponds to this most common length of repetition. And so, for instance, for the very first one here, in considering downtown time, user 29, ID, the 29th ID, has a total of all the length of the repetitions of the correct length. But for instance, the second one has two repetitions with a different length, so a length different from 8. So I'm going to discard this data because I don't want to process rubbish. I want to be sure that when I'm going to compare these features from data, I have to be sure that I'm actually comparing apples with apples. And so the dimensions must match. And so this is something a bunch of work I did to start the learning process, but this is definitely required. And so this is the case for up time, all the other features. So I just want to go over with it, this part of the notebook. And so then after that, I wanted to filter out users having less than the 50% of their repetitions of that length. After different changes to the feature extraction process, the web data has no user having less than 50%. But this is the case for app features. So let me go there. So for instance, take a look at this. We have this user having exactly zero repetition. So of course here, there's a problem yet into the feature extraction process. And so we have to take a look at it. In this project, actually, we have a very unusual separation of duties. So me, myself, and my colleagues are involved into the learning process. The feature extraction is not made by us. But I did, in any case, this feature data processing because it's definitely required before starting anything. So after that, time shifted is not very important. Basically, it's a different way how we calculate the timings when deletions are happening during the data structure. And so we're filtering out these rubbish user. And all right, so feature analysis. So take a look at the data, what this data looks like. And so I'm just plotting data considering the top ranked user. All right. So take a look at this. So I'm plotting data for the web. All right. Considering this feature, which is dwell time. And so taking a look at this, you would see some sort of regularity for this user. What is it? Oh, I'm sorry. What is the other one? Toolbar. All right. So take a look at this. So these are well time. There are some outliers here, so you can spot them at glance. And so maybe these are noisy data, but this is totally fine. This is the dwell time for this user on the web. And this is the dwell time for the same user on mobile devices. So totally different features and totally different trends. These are quite regular for this user. Maybe this is a very customer one. And on the mobile, they're totally different. So we expect to have, so we cannot mix them up. We have to use different learning for both of them. Maybe we can ensemble them in the end. So these are other features. Flight time on the web from the same user and flight time on app. So I just want to move on just a bit. Downtown time, still some outliers. And so after that, I wanted to do a couple of things before moving to the learning step of the project. So after that, so this is still data. I also plotted data for the best ranked user in the app ranking, which was different from the other ranking. 2 minutes, all right. So I just want to show you this. I wanted to see if some clustering may do the job before learning, before doing some sort of supervised learning. Hopefully not, because this is what we expect, but let's take a look at it. So first of all, I used SciPy clustering. In particular, to build a cluster, I use a hierarchy called single linkage clustering, using these complexity invariant distance. So this function has been defined as a similarity function, distance function, has been defined for series data. And so considering the very first 10 repetition of the dwell time, so this outlier we can spot at glance, this is the result of the clustering. So it's immediate to identify that if we cut this out, it's very easy to remove this noise. But if you want to and so for the dwell time, it could be easy to do that. So these are all the features in the dwell time. And so if we repeat this process, this is a sort of compact dendrogram representation, it's very easy to get all the data and remove the noise from here. So that's fine. But if we repeat it for app features, which was a total mess, it's less... it's more complicated, so you cannot rely heavily on this clustering filtering to detect outliers. And finally, I also wanted to see if data from two different users overlaps. And so I just tried with two totally random user doing a k-means clustering. In this case, now I know that I'm expecting two clusters because I have two users, but the k-means was not able to distinguish any of the two using the same feature. Of course, the clustering was not able to do anything, so all the data were in one single cluster. So in a total unsupervised way, it may be quite difficult to approach the problem. So concluding, yes, thank you very much. What I did apart preparing the data was to tackle the problem in two ways. The very first one was tackling the problem as a classification problem. So I wanted to classify the user. And so you have a 50 class classification problem. I run some models. So the way you can tackle the problem is twofold, in my opinion. You can tackle it as a classification problem, and you can tackle it as an anomaly detection problem. So the anomaly detection problem, the setting is different in the case that, my time is over. The setting is different because you want to consider, you want to use data from the user and use other users' data as anomalies, all right? In classification, you pass all the data and just classify it.
Okay.
All right.
If you have any further questions for Valerio, you can ask him during the lunch break. Now it's lunch, so you can
go ahead and grab lunch.